Just to give you a heads up, I'll begin in about 10 seconds. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Pat Price Tech Talk training at accessibleworld.org. It is Monday, September 21st, 2009. Robert Acosta is on a much deserved vacation, and I'm Joanne Becker. This evening, we have a really exciting program. We have Charles LaPierre, who is the Chief Technology Officer with Sendero Group. And Charles is going to be busy this evening. Version 6.0 is going to be the topic for our discussion this evening. And there are only 25 new features to discuss between versions 5 and 6. One of the things that I think will be really interesting to hear about is one of the new features, the sailing mode. I think that sounds intriguing. And without further ado, Charles, welcome to Tech Talk, and let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Firstly, I'd like to thank Accessible World, Tech Talk, Bob, and yourself, Joanne, for giving me the opportunity to speak with you all about the latest Sendero GPS offering. I'm really excited to tell you all that I won't be talking about Sendero GPS 6.0 today, but actually demonstrating Sendero GPS 6.1. That's right, earlier today, Sendero released a free upgrade to GPS 6.1 for those users who already own 6.0. Sendero also released the corresponding SDK, or Software Developers Kit, which is now also at version 6.1. This means that the next version of Code Factory's Mobile Geo, HIMSS's Sense Navigation, or Freedom Scientific's Street Talk VIP will all be powered by Sendero SDK version 6.1. Fear not, I'll be talking about all of the features and enhancements made in Sendero GPS 6.0, but I will also demonstrate the cool new features just released today in 6.1. Let me first off by talking about the changes made in 6.0 and 6.1, and I'll then move on to actually showing you some of these new features on the Braille Note MPower. Since my MPower is a Braille keyboard, I'll only be giving the keystrokes for the BT keyboard, and you can also find the QWERTY equivalents in the manual. So, without further ado, changes from 5.04 to 6.0. And I'm just going to stop here for a second just to make sure that everything sounds right.
You sound terrific.
Great. Wouldn't want to talk for 10 minutes or so and not everyone not hear me. So, that's great to hear. So, changes from 5 to 6. New quarter 2 2009 maps and points of interest for North America, Western Europe, parts of Asia, Australia, and New Zealand, and new maps for the first time for South Africa and Mexico. We introduced new map bundles for all of Western Europe and North America. So USA and Canada are now combined in one offering, thus reducing the cost for our users to obtain multiple countries. The biggest feature in 6.0 would have to be the new powerful address lookup module that was completely rewritten from scratch. Faster address lookups with speed improvements by at least tenfold. A new zip code and postal code searches. UTF-8 support, which allows for future maps in countries with non-Latin characters. Support for alphanumeric addresses. Offering address ranges when an exact address match is not found. Logical ordering of cross streets when you obtain a list of cross streets for a given street if you don't know the address. Exhaustive city and street searches for partial street and city names, and better support for countries with street prefixes, such as in France, for example, Rue de la Chapelle. Searching now for Chapelle will find the street you are searching for, which wasn't possible in previous versions. One-step address lookup, where you can type in the complete address instead of by piecemeal. Easier navigation when entering an address or backing up when you make a mistake. We will also pre-populate the city or zip code fields with the current GPS or virtual location, which again helps in address lookup. Improved accuracy placement of your virtual position for an address lookup. So we place you at the exact location along the street that matches the address chosen. So for example, 55 Main Street will now return 55 as the address when you ask, where am I? Other enhancements were made to the POI searches. To help identify points of interest, you will now hear the street that they're on with its name. So for example, Wendy's Restaurant, E Street, 160 feet right. Pressing F or doing an advanced POI search for nearby POIs now creates a POI list rather than remaining in the main GPS program. This allows for easy first letter hotkey navigation among POIs. Also, the information returned in this list is dynamic and will include or exclude information appropriately, such as only include the city if it's not the city that you're currently in with that point of interest. Dot 4 is a quick way to find nearest points of interest, but will keep you in the main program, opposed to a POI list with a find or an advanced POI find. Advanced POI searches no longer contain an end distance parameter, since this was causing issues where a system would seem to lock up if you asked to do a faraway search, for example, depending on which categories you searched for. All lists now have a more of a screen reader feel to them, which tells you where you are in the list. For example, Jones Street, 3 of 10, Market Street, 6 of 10, for example. These list indexes can be turned on or off independently. Location description, space with C, now gives a lot more information on the street that you're on, such as if it's pedestrian only, if it's split, meaning if there's a divider between the northbound and southbound lanes, if it's a one-way, are you on a bridge or in a tunnel, for example. Latitude and longitudes are now in a list and can be changed between degrees, minutes, and seconds, and decimal degrees, which can help when asking for a location on other systems or on the internet when they specify a specific format. Route information has also been placed in the list for easier understanding instead of blasting you all of the information in one long string. There is a new ability not to automatically close the route when you reach your destination, and this feature can be turned on or off in the advanced features. Advanced options. Improved Braille handling throughout the program. Improved spoken prompts to make things easier to understand. And what Joanne referred to, the new heading mode we call Sailor Mode. In Sailor Mode, directional information is expressed in terms of left, right, relative degrees, and absolute compass direction all in one. So, for example, Golden Gate Bridge is 1.3 miles south, 90 degrees left. This is a great tool not only for sailors, but for when hiking or exploring around. Now, changes from 6.0 to 6.1 just released today. POI media contact, the content is back and better than before. You can now record voice tags for voice for points of interest. Attach the sound of Big Ben chiming at noon to that POI, or attach a recording of your waiter reading the menu at your favorite restaurant. Save your bus schedule and attach it to that bus stop POI. The possibilities are endless. Current media files supported are Keysoft text file documents, KWT or KWB, and audio files, including WAV or MP3. A sound cue will occur when you come across a POI with media content, and a Braille message will appear for text attachments for POIs for our deafblind customers. When playing back the associated media content, either keyword or the media player will be launched with the associated file. There's also a new Sendero GPS audio logo, which plays when starting GPS. A number of other small bug fixes and improvements have also been made under the hood. So, before I demonstrate the key improvements, I want to stop here and answer any questions you may have up until this point. Let me turn this mic off for a second.
Okay, if any of you have any questions, press F8, type question, and then Ron will acknowledge you and you can then ask a question. Ron, do we have anyone who has typed in question at this point?
No one so far.
Okay, Charles.
All right, there I am back. Sorry, I pressed the wrong key and my system just about shut me down. I'm like, no! Okay, make sure that this is, looks like it's all working. And let me go over to my Braille Note now. And I'll be using the Braille Note M-Power using Eloquence. So.
Main menu.
Okay. And we'll now go into GPS. It'll tell me the current version number, and you'll hear in the background the new GPS audio logo.
Sendero GPS version 6.1, still 291 in power.
And it's now loading the maps and points of interest.
11 maps loaded. GPS receiver set to none in virtual mode.
Okay, so I'm in virtual mode right now, and the first thing I should show you is address lookup.
Point of interest 15, private.
Oh, and a look around event just occurred, and it was a point of interest that I was testing with. So let's bring up the address lookup, which is space with S.
Address lookup, city lookup, one of two.
Now, you heard that it said city lookup. You have the choice between city lookup or zip/postal code lookup. And you also heard that the index is one of two. I'm going to move down the list.
Zip/postal lookup, two of two.
And that's the zip code. So I'm going to go back to city.
City lookup, one of two.
And select this by pressing enter.
City lookup chosen, map. California, two of three.
It currently picks California. That's where I was currently in. And it'll automatically default to the previous map that you were on. So I'm going to press enter.
California chosen. City, press enter for San Jose.
That's where my current virtual position is. But I'm actually going to go to our main office in Davis. So I'm going to type in Davis here instead.
D-A-V-I-S, Davis. Davis chosen address.
And since now we can have alphanumeric addresses, you'll have to press the number sign first.
Number sign 429 street.
And for the street, I'm going to type in F. Actually, I can type in, we're on F Street. I can either type in F or FS or FST. If I type in ST, the Braille Note will actually think that's Saint. It'll say Saint, but it'll actually find the street. I'm actually just going to type FS.
F.
Space. F.
S. S. 429 F Street chosen. Address action menu. Explore position. E. One of six.
Now I have a lot of different options here in my address actions menu. I can set it as my virtual position. I'll move down the list.
Destination. D. Two of six.
Destination.
Pedestrian route. P. 3 of 6.
That will create a pedestrian route from my current position to this address.
Vehicle route. V. 4 of 6. Create user point of interest. C. 5 of 6.
Make a user point of interest out of this. And the last one.
Explore position and destination. D. 6 of 6.
So I'm actually going to press E for my current position.
Virtual explore position set to 429 F Street.
So since we're near the office of Sendero, I'm going to do space with F.
Edward Jones, shop/service, category, all, 1 of 20.
That was a look around event that just occurred. And now I'm going to type in
alcohol automobile, all.
I'm going to search 50. Under all categories.
All chosen. Enter point of interest search string or press enter for nearest point.
And I'm going to type in Sendero.
S-E-N-D-E-R-O. Sendero. Creating point of interest list. Point found. Sendero group. Bonus. F Street number sign 4. 19 feet north.
So that's the the commercial point of interest list. I'm not looking for that one.
Sendero Group East Street parking lot entrance. Computer / consumer electronics. East Street, 268 feet northwest. Has media. 3 of 4.
And you heard that it has media, and you also heard that sound effect at the beginning. So I want to listen to this media.
Point of interest action menu. Media playback. Audio. M. 1 of 7.
So I'm just going to press enter on that.
Sendero Group East Street parking lot entrance, about 100 feet south of 5th Street, a little bit north of 4th Street. This is the back entrance, the west side of the building. There's 6 parking lot slots. One of them is a handicap spot. There are steps to the back west door of Sendero Group.
And that was Mike May, our CEO, who recorded this point of interest with this audio tag associated with it. All right, let's bring up some more examples of the new address module.
Address lookup. City lookup. 1 of 2.
City lookup.
City lookup chosen. Map, California. California chosen. City, press enter for Davis.
And now that I'm in Davis, that comes as the default.
Davis chosen. Address.
And now I'm actually going to type in 2 things here.
Number sign. 1, 6.
1, 6, 5, 5, 0.
And
that's the address, but I don't have to stop there. I'm going to press space and actually start typing in part of the street name.
T-R-E-E-3. No streets found matching that name. Try exhaustive search.
And this is what I wanted to show you, that this exhaustive search. There was no streets beginning with tree. So try exhaustive search.
Try exhaustive search chosen. Streets found. Joshua Tree Street. 1 of 5.
There's Joshua Tree Street.
Olive Tree Lane. 2 of 5.
Olive Tree Lane, etc. So that's a pretty important new feature, especially in foreign countries where you have a lot of prefixes to streets. Now let's try, I'm going to exit out of here and do a zip code search.
Exit. Address lookup aborted. Address lookup. City lookup. 1 of 2. Zip/postal lookup. Zip/postal lookup chosen. Map, California. California chosen. Zip/postal. Press enter for 95,616.
And it automatically pulls the zip code in Davis. And that's exactly where I want to search for.
95,616 chosen. Address.
And instead of typing an address, I'm just going to type in G.
G. G. Streets found. G Street. Davis. 1 of 22.
And it found G Street in Davis. It's exactly where I wanted to go. I'll pick that for now. Without an address.
G Street. Davis chosen. Address range is found. 100 through 199 G Street,
and this,
Davis,
and this
1 of 13.
Oops, sorry. And this is a new feature where we give the address ranges.
200 through 299 G Street, Davis, 2 of 13.
And et cetera, it can go down.
Through 399 G Street, Davis.
Okay, so let me exit out of here.
Exit. Address lookup aborted. Address lookup. Zip/postal lookup. 2 of 2.
And it remembers the last few what you were doing, but I'm going to go to a city lookup.
City lookup chosen. Map, California. California chosen. City, press enter for Davis.
Now, I'm not going into Davis, and I'm actually going to show you here the complete, typing in the complete address at this point. So I'm going to type in.
Number sign.
Now, again, it's prompting me for the city, but I'm able to type in the complete address at this point.
1526.
And it's
H.
H. That's the street I'm looking for, H Street. I'm going to do a colon space, which specifies that I'm now going to type in the city after this. Instead of putting a comma at this point, because there could be commas in the street name, so we didn't want to get confused. So we'll put a colon, space,
colon.
And type in Sacramento. And this happens to be the governor's mansion in Sacramento.
S-A-C-R-A-M-E-N-T-O.
So this was all typed in one line. Now, it won't find exactly a match for Sacramento because there's Sacramento Canyon and Sacramento, but it will default to the correct, to the one that matches closest.
Sacramento, cities found. Sacramento, 2 of 5.
And you'll notice that it's 2 of 5 because 1 of 5 was Sacramento Canyon. So I'm just going to select that.
Sacramento chosen.
Now,
streets found. HY, 1 of 523.
Now it just found 523 different, actually it's a little less than that for going backwards, but over 500 streets starting with H.
H Street, 2 of 523.
And it was that quick in giving back all of those different streets. So the speed is just incredible on this new address lookup. So I'm going to press H Street.
H Street chosen. 1526 H Street chosen. Address action menu. Explore position. E. 1 of 6. Virtual explore position set to 1526 H Street.
And
Avalon Nightclub. Nightlife.
Oh, we're right near a nightclub. And let's see what else is nearby.
Creating point of interest list. Place found. Avalon Nightclub. Governor's Mansion, Museum, H Street, 216 feet, southeast.
And there was the Governor's Mansion. So that's the new address lookup. And before I demonstrate virtually exploring, I'll stop here for a few minutes and answer any questions that people may have.
Okay, anyone with questions, press F8, type question. And then Ron will acknowledge you.
And I will try to get closer to the Braille Notes speaker. Hopefully everyone was still able to understand that.
Nobody's still listing plans to ask a question.
Well, I have to say this is really impressive to see how quickly you are able to deal with addresses. Very impressive.
Hi, Charles. I had asked this before, but I just wanted it confirmed. With other GPS devices, I using Wayfinder at the moment, you can save points of interest or points you set up yourself, street addresses, in a list of favorites you can go to quickly and select, which means you don't have to search for them every time. Is there a way to do that in Brown Note GPS, or would you just put everything in the user category, point of interest, and select things that way?
Right now we don't have a favorites feature. That is something that is on our wish list. You would create user points of interest, and there's actually a hotkey backspace with .3 to quickly find your user points of interest. If you leave it at the defaults. And that's something that I know Mike May uses all the time and is a great way to just look around and quickly tell you what your nearest points of interest are. So that would be how I would answer that question.
Terry Hogan is waiting with a question.
Having a scenario GPS myself, I noticed a big improvement just by listening to your unit there, Charles. I'm very, very overwhelmed with that, not because I have one or anything. It's just that these stuff for me is important, you know, when you need quick information. It's haven't figured out now when you're in this town in San Antonio, there's a lot of the island on the street, and then it's going to really help out a lot more now. Thanks.
Anyone else have a question that they would like to ask Charles?
Margaret Gaffney asked the question.
Comment in addition to what Charles responded to Andrew's head question about the whole favorites. The whole backspace.3 command is really interesting in that it not only allows you to bring up your user private points of interest, but specify a particular category like restaurant, Italian, or a number of categories that you can quickly bring up with that hot command hotkey. And just like to say that the whole address lookup with the ability to do city lookup, zip/postal code lookup, and just the fact that it's possible to enter everything into one field or multiple fields is really powerful. And just the whole address range, cross streets, and just everything between 5.0 and 6.0 in that area is just really, really powerful. And I think that Sendero Group did an excellent job at making it as intuitive as possible and making it really as powerful as possible, and just kind of continues on this whole great idea of just how great the Sendero GPS is made.
Okay. Any other questions? I couldn't agree with you more.
Terry Holbert is waiting with a question.
Yeah, hi, Charles. Great presentation. It sounds like a good product, but can you buy the software and put it on some other device, like a mobile phone or like possibly a Victor Stream or some such other device other than just buying the Sendero GPS with a Braille note, because I'm not a Braille user, so I really don't want to buy a Braille note just for the GPS. Good product, though, and a great presentation.
Well, the presentation's not over yet. I still have virtually exploring and point of interest searching and the new stuff, but we also have on the Braille notes family voice notes. So you don't have to get one with a Braille keyboard. But we do offer the Sendero SDK on other platforms, and that's covered by Mobile Geo with Code Factory uses our software on their product. Freedom Scientific, is using our SDK on their Omni for Street Talk VIP, and HIMS also on the their product line of Braille and Voice Sense. We are on multiple platforms, Windows CE platforms. So no Symbian devices at this time.
Nick Stockton is the last person waiting currently.
Hi. Yeah. I had a question regarding, sort of a two-part question. One had to do with the speed. Has Sendero ever considered doing any sort of bench testing amongst the different products implementing the Sendero SDK as well as the Sendero GPS for the Braille note? And the second was with transportation such as bus stops and whatnot. I live in the Portland area, and it's really awesome to be able to access those. And I heard that Sendero was looking into getting Google transportation data and integrating that into into the POI lists. And I was wondering if that was...
Okay, to answer your first question, as far as benchmarking other SDK platforms, we've done a little bit of that, not a lot, because the different processor speeds and like is very difficult to truly gauge that. But I know that when we improved some things on a Braille note, it became faster than on the HIMS's Braille Sense product, Sense Navigation. And then when they upgraded to the next version of the SDK, it blew the M-Powers out of the water as far as speed is concerned. So since they have a faster processor and more memory. So definitely the faster the processor and more memory, the quicker response times you're going to get for creating routes and the like. To answer your second question, yes, actually Sendero got a grant to work on points of interest and specifically to gather the feeds from the Google Transit feeds for bus stops and incorporate that into our PUI database, and we are currently, that project is currently underway, and we're making headway on that, so that we'll definitely see something in the months to come. So thanks for the question.
Well, I must say that would be phenomenal. It is impossible to find a bus stop if I don't know where it is, so that's really exciting to hear.
Okay, it looks like Lillian Wei has another question.
Yeah, hi. It's a good presentation. This venture about bus stops, is that for specific areas or any place in the country? And how much is the device? Thank you.
Well, let's see. The bus stops themselves it's not throughout the entire USA or Canada. It's whatever transit agencies elect to opt into the Google Transit project. And so they provide their data in a format that's specified by the Google Transit feeds. And once they provided it in that format, then Sendero would grab those feeds and put it into our point of interest database and have monthly updates or however often updates we do. As far as, so it depends on your age, where you live, basically, and you may lobby to get your data into the transit, into the Google Transit feed, and then we would be able to get that data as well. As far as the cost of the device, there's so many different variations out there. The Braille Note family depends on if you get a unit with Braille or not, how many Braille cells you have increases the price of the unit. The actual software itself on the Braille Note product line, I think, is around $1,500, give or take. But all of this information is on the Sendero website at www.senderogroup.com, and there's price lists there. And we also sell not only the Braille Note family, but also for the Mobile Geo, Street Talk, VIP, and so we sell pretty much anything as far as GPS is concerned. So please visit our website, and you'll have all the information there. So I'd like to go on to showing some virtual exploring and some of the power of the points of interest. All right. So first off, let me go. I want to virtually walk around the streets of San Francisco. So I'm going to...
Address lookup. City lookup. 1 of 2. City lookup chosen. Map, California. 2, California chosen. City, S. A-N-N-F-R-A-A-A-N, San Francisco chosen, address, B-E-A-C-H-H, streets found, Beach Blanket, Babylon Boulevard, 1 of 6.
That sounds interesting, but not where I wanted to go.
Beach Street, 2 of 6, Beach Street chosen, address ranges found, 1 through 99 Beach Street.
I'm actually going to, I'm actually going to go to the cross streets on Beach Street.
Cross streets chosen. Cross streets found. Grand Avenue, 73.19 miles, southwest, 1 of 15.
Now I can quickly press the first letter of the street that I'm looking for.
Pier 39, 73.19 miles, southwest, 2 of 15.
And try again for P.
Powell Street, 73.34 miles southwest.
So that's where I want to get to, is Powell Street. But I'm just going to go down the list a little bit further.
Powell Street, 73, Mason Street, 73.41 miles southwest.
So after Powell Street is Mason,
Taylor Street,
then Taylor,
Street,
then Jones,
Leavenworth Street,
then Leavenworth.
62 miles southwest.
So I'm going to go back to Powell Street.
Hope Street, near 30, Powell Street. Powell Street, 73.34 miles southwest chosen. Address action menu. Explore position. Virtual explore position set to Beach Street at Powell Street. IHOP restaurant, American.
Okay, there's the IHOP. I'm going to move down the street now with dots 2, 3, 5, 6.
Now on Beach Street, heading west at Powell Street, left and right.
Okay, so the next street is Mason, according to the cross streets.
482 feet west, Mason Street, left and right. Bay Area Longshoreman's Mammal, bonus. 476 feet west, Taylor Street, left and right.
There's Taylor, and one more, I think we're going to get to Jones.
477 feet west, Jones Street, left and right.
Okay.
Burger Management Corporation.
So now we're at Jones Street, and I'm going to search for nearby restaurants.
Category, all, restaurant, restaurant chosen, subcategory, all chosen, enter point of interest search string, or press enter for nearest point.
I'm not looking for anything specific, so I'm just going to press enter.
Creating point of interest list.
I'm searching now.
Point found. Starbucks, coffee shop, Jones S, 33 feet, right, north.
Now, it was smart enough to know that I searched for restaurants, so it didn't say restaurant, but it did tell me the subcategory, which is coffee shop. Now I'm going to go down the list. Oh.
Denny's, American, Beach Street, 63 feet, behind, east, left side, past media, 2 of 28.
So that gave you a lot of information. What street it was on. What subcategory it was, that it was on the left-hand side of that street, and it has media, and it also played that sound cue. So I'm going to press enter on this because I want to find out what that media content is.
Point of interest action menu, media playback, document, M, 1 of 7.
So it has a document. So let's find out what this has to say.
Launching book reader. Top of document, American Dinner Classics, trademark sign, dinner served from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., chicken strips for spicy, golden fried chicken strips served with a dipping sauce.
So there you have it. We have the point of interest and the menu here at this restaurant attached to this point of interest. I'm going to exit out of here and go back to the GPS program.
Exit.
All right, I'm going to move down the street a little bit.
473 feet west, Leavenworth Street, left and right.
And you know what?
Fugazi Travel Agency, Inc.
That was just a look-around event that Point of Interest triggered. But I just got hit in the face by a branch. So I'm going to, now I'm virtually smacking myself with the face with the branch, so I'm going to put in Point of Interest right here now.
Point of Interest name.
I'm not going to name it. You can name it, and then you can add media to it, but if you don't name the POI, it's going to ask you to record a voice tag.
Category, user private.
And we'll leave it as user private.
User private chosen. Press enter or the record button to start, and stop recording for point of interest 24.
So point of interest 24 is going to be the name of the point of interest, since I didn't name it myself, and I'm going to start recording. Watch out for the low-lying branch on the left-hand side of this street. And it's now saving.
User point of interest saved as point of interest 24.
Now if I look for nearby points of interest.
Point of interest 24. User private near. Point of interest 24. Point of interest action menu. Media playback, audio.
And I can play back that message.
Watch out for the low-lying branch on the left-hand side of this street.
And there you have it. So that's a POI that I was able to record a voice tag to and then have it played back when I'm walking. I'm going to move down and show you one other cool feature down to Hyde Street.
280 feet west, Hyde Street, left and right.
So Hyde Street's left and right. I'm going to turn right on Hyde Street facing north. So that's dots 5-6.
Now on Hyde Street heading north at Beatty Street, left and right.
And I'm going to bring up the details of Hyde Street.
Location details. Hyde Street, local, one way, San Francisco, 1 of 17.
So you'll notice that it said it's one way here, facing north. But I'm going to exit out of here and now face south.
Exiting. Now on Beach Street heading west. Now on Hyde Street heading south at Beach Street, left and right.
And now I'll bring up the details.
Oops. Attorney, right side.
There's a POI that just triggered. Now I'm going to bring up its details facing south.
Location details. Hyde Street, local, San Francisco, 1 of 17.
And you'll notice that it doesn't say one way there. So it's actually Hyde Street south of Beach Street, you can travel both directions. Hyde Street north of Beach Street is one way. And we're hoping that a future enhancement will tell you which direction the one way goes. So there's got to be a 6.2, right? Okay. Another thing that I want to show you is how we can transport ourselves magically to a foreign country. And we're going to bring up, and this is done through GPS replay. GPS replay is a powerful feature that basically records everything the GPS receiver is sending us, so our current position, how fast we're going, all that information is stored on your Braille note. And then the beauty is, at any time in the future, you can play back that recording, and you're transported back to that same location, and you're going down the same street at the same speed and the same points of interest will trigger, or if you get updated maps, new points of interest will trigger. So that's a pretty neat thing. Along with route, you actually can follow a route virtually before. It's great for demonstrating purposes or training purposes. So I'm going to bring up the replay options.
Location. Exiting. GPS options menu.
I'm going to press G for GPS receiver.
GPS receiver currently set to none. Drive.
And now I'm going to replay. So I typed R for replay. I'm going to compact flash.
Okay. Press enter for max.
Bring
GPS
up.
GPS replay to open. List of air support. Test drive pedestrian.trc.
So test drive pedestrian. I'm going to bring up this.
Successfully connected to receiver. Exiting options menu. GPS replay detected. Acquired position. 16 feet, 10 satellites.
Well, where am I?
Church Street, 28 feet northeast of Macquarie Street. Shuntack Restaurant.
All right, what city am I in?
Parramatta, New South Wales.
New South Wales. I'm actually in Australia right now, and I'm going to bring up a replay.
Route command list.
A route.
Drive. Folder. Name, press enter for test drive pedestrian.route.
So I'm going to bring up the route that's associated with this replay. You don't have to do this, but I just want to show you a route as well in the same example.
Route loaded. Destination set to waypoint 4, St. John's Cathedral. Next, waypoint 2, Macquarie, and Marsden 287 feet ahead.
Oh.
Approaching left turn at waypoint 2, Macquarie, and Marsden at 273 feet.
So in 273 feet, we're making a left turn, and if I press T,
240 feet, slight left, waypoint 2, Macquarie, and Marsden, turn left on Marsden Street heading south, 2 minutes.
And it gives you your estimated time of arrival as well. I can ask for nearby points of interest. I can actually turn that off in the look around commands.
Look around commands list. Look around. Turned on. Point of interest search direction. Turn left on Marsden Street heading south.
That's an important feature right there. I'm in the look around commands list to turn on and off look around, but I just got a notification that I'm supposed to turn. So if this is a real world situation, I would, you know, stop what I'm doing, get out of this list, and actually concentrate on making the turn correctly.
Commercial PO is all categories turned on. Change convert.
Actually.
Turning off commercial points.
I'm going to turn off look around commercial points of interest just because when you're following a route, that's too much information with points of interest triggering. If it's a route you know, we've now made the turn. And it's now saying you've turned onto that street, you made the correct turn.
Approaching left turn. At waypoint 3, Tucker, at Marsden at 250 feet.
Okay, so if I press T at this point.
236 feet ahead, waypoint 3, Tucker, at Marsden, turn left on Tucker Street heading east, 1 minute.
So in 1 minute, I should be at that turn. How fast am I traveling? F.
2.9 miles per hour.
Oh, so I'm going at a fair pace. Let's see what the altitude is here.
Near sea level.
Oh, we're near sea level. All right. And
turn left on Thunder Street heading east.
And there's the sound effect for the turn now while route following. It's actually a clicker for a car turning signal. And in a few seconds, we're going to be turning left again, so we should be heading, we're probably heading still south right now, H.
South 195 degrees.
And once we make the turn, we'll start to make our left turn. We'll be then going east. And then we'll get the continue straight message, which is to our final destination. And I can press D at any point in time to find out where that destination is. Oh, that was...
Marsden Street, 65 feet slight right to Hunter Street.
And that was a look-around event for an intersection that we're coming up to.
On Hunter Street. 179 feet slight left to dead end.
Oh, and there's a...
Continue straight.
And there's a confirmation.
162 feet to destination, waypoint 4, St. John's Cathedral.
And we're coming up on our destination now. So this is showing you as if we were walking outside right now in Australia following this route. I'm able to show you this. And there's our destination.
Slight right to destination, waypoint 4, St. John's Cathedral. Closed.
A very powerful function. And another one that I just want to quickly show you. This is pretty impressive. I'm going to switch to no GPS receiver.
GPS options. GPS receiver has been changed. Switching to virtual mode at Hyde Street and Beach Street. Exiting options menu.
Now, I'm going to create a route.
Point of interest 23, private.
From a replay. And this, creating routes you can do by setting a destination and depending on where you are virtually or in GPS mode, create the route, either a pedestrian or vehicle route. The other option that we have is creating a manual route where you drop the waypoints, your turning points, so you create your own route wherever you want. And this is great for campuses, for example, where they don't have streets. The third option you have for creating routes is creating a route from a replay. And so that means you can start the replay up, walk from one building to another building, let's say on campus with no roads, and after you're done, say, okay, now create a route from that replay. And it will figure out where you turned and be able, and if there's actually roads underneath it, we'll grab that information and tell you to turn left onto X Street or Y Street. Or if there is no street information there, it'll tell you to turn left or turn right, et cetera, to follow that route. So if I create a route from a replay.
Route command list.
Let's see.
Route announced, route management, create pedestrian, create vehicle route, create manual route, create route from replay file, drive, press enter for compact flash, folder name, GPS replay to open, Press enter for test drive pedestrian.trc.
Okay, so I'm going to create it from this replay. I already have the route, but let's see how much in line this route is compared to the one that we did while we were actually there.
Creating route from replay.
A little bit of stuttering here as it thinks.
Route created. Arrived near beginning of route waypoint 1, McQuarrie Street, west.
All right, so I'm going to go to the next turn.
302 feet, waypoint 5. Turn left on Marsden, street heading south.
And that's exactly what we did. We turned left onto Marsden, and then I think we're going to make another left turn onto McQuarrie, I think.
333 feet, waypoint 8. Turn left on Hunter, street heading southeast.
Right, turn left onto Hunter, and then finally...
Arrived near destination.
You've arrived at your destination. So it created the exact same route as we did while we were there, but it created it from the replay file. And just for kicks and grins here, I'm going to bring up a replay.
GPS options. GPS receiver currently set to none. Receiver selection menu. Drive. Press enter for compact. Folder name. GPS replay to open. Press enter for test drive. List of all GPS replay files in air to Portland.trc.
This was recorded, I believe, by Mike May while he was in an airplane.
Successfully connected to receiver. Close route and switch to GPS mode. Switch to GPS mode. Exiting options menu.
Okay, let's try G.
Was 16 feet, 8 satellites.
All right.
GPS replay.
Okay, and what's our current speed?
468 miles per hour.
And what's our altitude?
Altitude 39,963 feet.
And there you have it. So we can actually create a, follow a replay that was in the air, and you can find out what city that you're flying over top of by pressing C.
East Tahama, California.
And there you have it. So, that is pretty much it. While in vehicles, you can, with a look around, you can have the intersections automatically announced now at any speed. Previously, we didn't tell you what the intersections were if you were going more than 15 miles an hour. Now we heard a lot of people feedback, and they were very... They wanted, while on a bus, to be able to know what intersections they were passing so that they would have a better idea when to ring the bell to stop. So now at you can specify the intersection, the speed at which intersections are announced. And as soon as you cross one intersection, it automatically will search ahead of you and tell you what the name of the next intersection is. So it's not the one you just passed, but it's actually the next one that you're coming up to that's being announced. So... that's basically my talk today, everyone. I'm 5 minutes under, so we'll be able to now answer any more questions that you may have, but thank you so much.
Oh, Charles, this has been so fascinating. Sorry about that. I have a quick question for you. Are all of these features available for all of the various other programs with which GPS is, you're now making GPS available, like Mobile Geo, for example, will it have all these same features?
The answer to that is yes and no. Everyone, they have the option, the opportunity to include these features, but it's up to the individual companies to pick and choose which features that they want to expose for their users. So yes, the potential is there to implement all of these features in any of the Sendero SDK products.
Okay, Ron, do we have questions? I presume we do.
Yes, there's a question coming from Andrew Head.
I just wanted to say to Charles, thank you for such a very exciting demonstration there. And I was wondering, I've got the test drive version of Brown Knight GPS 4.22. It's not a specific 15-day trial or anything like I know you can also get. It just has a couple of replay files and the virtual mode. for Australia. I'm just wondering, is there the same sort of thing out for version 6.0?
Test drive, no, we haven't done that. There's definitely a lot of work that has to happen in order to make test drive versions to be automated and to give you the nice menu and, you know, pick a, and create these routes and stuff. Definitely a possibility, but the 15-day trial is where we're going with that, and I see Mike had some comments on it.
Question.
We didn't hear you, Ron, actually.
Geez, Ron, there's a lot of static, which is very unusual. Can you try that again?
Let's try this again. Jerry Hogan is waiting. Is this clearer?
I didn't do anything to you, Ron. That wasn't me. My question, like, Joe, good presentation. Question is, I haven't looked into it for a long time, but are you able, once you create a route, put that in a vehicle, and then and then can you save the tech file and print it out and give it to somebody, or email, or print it out and give somebody a copy?
Yes, absolutely. Under the route management, I think there's save route directions that will save it to a text file that you can then bring into any word processor.
Gary Wood is waiting with a question.
Hi, Charles. Very interesting program tonight. And Sendero makes a lot of good products, but I was wondering how this maybe compares, if you don't mind answering this one. This product compares to the Trekker from, it's also made by Humanware.
Trekker is a great standalone product. There's a lot of synergy between our product and their product. Definitely there's feature stealing from us and us stealing features from them. The create route from Replay, even we were working on it pretty much at the same time. I think they came out with it first. And then they have now the Trekker Breeze, which is a simplified version of their Trekker unit. Just that the interface is different, and we think that our interface, the way that we handle that, is a lot cleaner. There's a lot of, for data entry, because it's limited keys, you don't have a full QWERTY keyboard. There's a lot of triple typing, et cetera. So.
Any other questions?
Lillian has a second question she's waiting with.
Yeah, hi. It's a great presentation. Really enjoyed it. Okay, my question is this. If you punch in for information and you're trying to follow your course and you get distracted by, you know, somebody asking you where something is or for the time or something, will it help you get back on track or not, you know, I mean, keep you from getting lost?
Well, absolutely. You can, you know, pause, lock the keyboard, for example, if you're going into a store or something, so you don't accidentally punch commands while you're distracted. And even when you're not doing that, you can, after you get back to your GPS program, you can, you know, ask it, where am I, what intersection's around, what heading am I going, and get yourself reoriented. The system will just keep track of you, and you can stand around talking to people, and then as soon as you start moving again, the system will continue to track you. So that's definitely not a problem. And you can even task switch to other programs as well. So if you need to look up an address or finish a note, you can switch to your note taker and keyword and type in that, or the scientific calculator if you needed to do some mathematics or something, and then switch back. So all of that's possible with our software.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Any other questions for Charles?
It looks like Gary Wood has a question.
Yeah, I was just another maybe follow-up. That's very cool, you know, the way that you can do the virtual, take a virtual tour of anywhere with GPS and even to a different country. That's almost hard to believe. Of course, with nowadays it's possible, but it's kind of mind-boggling to be able to do things like that, and sort of gives you a way to know what to expect when you go, if you go to these countries or any other city.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the Sendero 15-day trial, or actually under Keysoft 8, you get a 90-day free trial. You have every country for those 90 or 15 days available to you to explore. So you can check out Mexico or South Africa, and we actually virtually will put you there and as a starting location, and then you can start exploring from there and search for nearby points of interest and again, create routes. So if you know that you're going to some other country or even some other state that you've never been to, some other city, you know, it's all new. And you punch in the address or the hotel that you're going to stay at, and then, you know, search around for nearby restaurants that for what you're looking for. If you're into, you know, Chinese or Italian or Korean, you just type in those things and see what's around the hotel, and then create a pedestrian route. Find out if it's within walking distance or do you need to take a cab. Also, a good idea once you get there, even if you can walk, make sure that you talk to the concierge and make sure that it's safe to walk in some of these areas at night or wherever have you. So always use common sense and your good orientation mobility skills along with GPS, because this is really another tool that you have in your toolbox to gain independent travel. And even if it's not safe to walk, jump in a cab and feel the confidence that you know the cab's going in the right direction, is not going to overcharge you because they're going the wrong way and have to turn around, that you can quickly correct any mistakes on their end if they think that they could take advantage of you. But you definitely can't if you have our system.
Well, I think it's such a phenomenal thing that Sendero has really impacted blind people's ability to independently travel. And if only when I had been in Amsterdam, I had had Sendero GPS with me, I wouldn't have been charged a phenomenal taxi fee. So it's really fabulous that you guys are doing such superb work. Any other questions, Ron, before we end this evening's program?
No one has their hand up.
Well, Charles, on behalf of Accessible World, we want to thank you for a superb presentation. It was extremely informative, and we thank you. And hopefully many people will be deciding to give GPS a try, because it really is such a powerful tool. Thank you so much.